This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, what it is. I'm Reese Waters. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. As always, I want to hear from you, 800-636-1067. Now, as I mentioned when I was talking to Darren, and by the way, we got my man Jamel Johnson coming at you next segment, comedian extraordinaire. College football is a mess all over the place right now. The MAC has postponed all fall sports, including football, planning on a spring season. You guys know the MAC, the Mid-American Conference. MACtion. What are we going to do without MACtion? They postponed their entire fall sports season, making them the first FBS conference. That's Division I for all you old school players. First FBS conference to make the drastic decision because of ongoing concerns around the pandemic. Earlier this week, independent UConn, as you heard, became the first FBS program to cancel its season. And the MAC commissioner has said that the decision, quote, was not made lightly nor without significant contemplation and conversation over the past weeks. So what that tells me is they're having these conversations. They're throwing these ideas out there. They just not letting us hear about it, because there's no way in the world these people could be this confident. The Big Ten and the SEC and the ACC, look, I know they don't want to leave any money on the table. I understand you got a good racket going and you never want to end a good racket until the cops come. I get that. But you got to be reading the tea leaves on this one. I mean, come on. You got to be at least considering the circumstances and the alternatives. We're not hearing a lot of these are the options, or, you know, this is the worst case scenario, or we may have to. We're not hearing any of that. We're hearing pretty much all naked optimism from these coaches and administrators and athletic directors. And I don't know if that's they're trying to sell us. I don't know if that's their spin. You got Jim Harbaugh out here calling out Ohio State, which is funny. Because that is one of the biggest indicators that I felt like we weren't going to have a college football season is Jim Harbaugh is confident. Jim Harbaugh has no reason to feel confident in anything that he's done since he left Colin Kaepernick's side. I don't know why he would be out here calling Ohio State and Ryan Day out their name. That's almost like the little guy on the edges of the fight talking about hold me back. Hold me back. Hold me back. It's going to be trouble for you, Ohio State. It's going to be trouble for you, Ohio State. Hold me back. Hold me back, COVID. Hold me back, COVID. Pandemic, hold me back. That's my word, Ohio State. This was our year, Ohio State. Hold me back, COVID. That's what I'm hearing from John. That's what I'm hearing from Jim Harbaugh. That's what tells me this ain't going down. Because you know, if ain't nobody holding him back, he don't want that smoke. We wouldn't have heard that from Jim Harbaugh. That's all I'm saying. Then you have the Big Ten. I don't know if you guys got a chance to read this article in the Players Tribune under the hashtag Big Ten United. It's a letter. It's to the NCAA and the Big Ten Conference. And they pretty much want to express the concerns of over 1,000 Big Ten football players. They formed something called the College Athlete Unity, CAU, which represents 23 different varsity sports at schools in every major conference, as well as every NCAA division, the NAIA, and U Sport in Canada. The CAU seeks to empower collegiate athletes to use their platforms for change. We support the right of all athletes to stand up and speak out. So, the Big Ten proposal was for oversight and transparency when it comes to administering testing and enforcing health and safety standards, making sure there are prevention and safety protocols, testing, contact tracing, and player assurances, which included banning the use of liability waivers, which is a big thing. You've seen Congress calling for that. That's one of the reasons why we had to hold up on the stimulus agreement, is this whole issue of the liability waivers. Preserving athletic eligibility, scholarship, and roster spots for anybody who opts out. Whistleblower protections, that's a big one. And then the Pac-12, which was actually the first such move, the Pac-12 players sent a demand letter to the conference under the hashtag We Are United. The letter was signed by players of the Pac-12 and uses that hashtag to explain the group's concerns, saying, because NCAA sports exploit college athletes physically, economically, and academically, and also disproportionately harm black college athletes. A number of players also sent tweets of the letter and the hashtag as well. So the letter reads, to ensure future generations of college athletes will be treated fairly, hashtag We Are United, because NCAA sports exploits college athletes physically, economically, and academically, and also disproportionately harms black athletes. We are united in rejecting the NCAA's claim that black athletes matter while also systemically exploiting black athletes nationwide. We are united because we're being asked to play college sports in a pandemic in a system without enforced health and safety standards and without transparency about COVID cases on our teams, the risk to ourselves, our families, and our communities. We are united because we have had adequate COVID testing, because we must have adequate COVID testing to help protect our health. We're united because we're prohibited from securing representation while being asked to sign documents that may serve as liability waivers. We're united because we should not be stuck with sports-related medical expenses, including COVID-19 related expenses. We're united because any player who does not feel comfortable playing this season should be free to opt out without losing their scholarship or any eligibility. We are united. That's the first half of it. And again, this goes to what I was saying before I brought on Darren. This has long been a one-way, at least above board. We don't know what's going on below board, but at least above board, this has been one-way traffic when it comes to power. This has been a player pool and a labor force that has had the terms dictated to them at every point, and really has been, I don't want to say slow, but I'll say they've been really reticent and reluctant to use whatever leverage they may have. But when it comes in a circumstance like this, where it may not be in the player's best interest, just the player's best interest to play, but it may be it's in the game's best interest, and it's surely in the school's best interest to get that money. That relationship matters. That relationship that you have with your labor force matters. You pushing for that extra couple of percentage points in the NFL matters when you need the players to come up and play, to step up and play. You pushing for extra protections for teams when it comes to their prospects, delaying the windfall that players can receive, if they are one of the players that can receive a windfall, matters when it comes to you needing players to show up and play, quote, for the good of the game, basically for the good of the game's economy. But it's not necessarily in their best interest, just as a group unto themselves. That relationship matters. All right. I'm going to bring in comedian extraordinaire Jamel Johnson. Local boy gone good. That boy out in L.A. now. He doing big things. But he has some thoughts. And I'm going to let him get him off. You can to 800-636-1067. I'll be back. Reese Boys on the Fan. Oh, yeah, we had to take it back. We had to take it back to Snoop. We had to take it out to Long Beach because we're reaching out to my man all the way from Cali. By the way, Sean, make sure you remind me to weigh in on all these versus battles because I got some thoughts on the greatest versus battle because we got to rank all these bad boys. But I want to bring in my man Jamel Johnson, comedian extraordinaire. He's from right here in the area. And we actually blessed it. He's actually still... He came back, man. I don't know what you was thinking, leaving Cali and coming back, man. What happened? What's going on?
Man, ain't nothing going on out there, dog. Everything is fully shut down. The only thing I could do is juggle. If I knew how to juggle, I'd be at Venice Beach right now. But I don't got no real clown skills. So I was like, let me just go back to the crib, hit a real Five Guys, not one of these pretend Five Guys.
All right, fair enough. Look at you making us feel better about our pandemic accommodations. Look, it looks like what's going on with our football team has become a laughingstock nationally. Is that the case when you're not here? Are we just generally and thoroughly clown?
Yes, 100% around the clock. People who don't even like football will hit me up and laugh about our team, and it hurts me physically.
Now, where do you come out on the name change, though? Like, have you heard anything that you're feeling? Like, how do you think they should do this rebrand?
Well, you know, I think everybody was like Warriors, you know, at first. But I think there might be something better than that. And I think they almost had it. I think it was it was like Washington football team is like when you cross somebody over. And then, like, don't hit the jumper. You know what I mean? I know that's the wrong sport, but, like, it's so close. I think, like, just Washington football, also hard. My personal favorite would have been Washington Football Club. That's, like, that feels prestigious. You feel me?
Yeah. It's a little pretentious. And I'm not mad at the pretentiousness. Especially if you're coming from something that people just said was racist. Like,
exactly.
You all the way from the bottom to the top if you end up with pretentious.
Exactly, bro. Washington football team makes it feel like, it's like a pouty thing. Like, oh, well, I guess we'll change it. And it's like they made it bad on purpose.
Pretty much. I was like, it's like Dan Snyder's temper tantrum. He was like, hey, if we can't be racist, then we having nothing at all, then fine. Like, we can't be at the house no more.
Bro, I'm still mad about RedskinsFacts.com. You remember when he did RedskinsFacts.com?
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
I won't elaborate. I understand. Look. Whoa.
Well, look. I also said, as long as we don't come out with wizards, then at least it won't be the worst name the worst rebrand that we have. Were you old enough to remember the Bullets and the indignity of having them to be called the Wizards?
Oh, for sure. I was in like elementary school, but I was in like sex ed elementary school. You know what I'm saying? I was in like fifth maybe sixth grade when they changed it. So I'm like kind of thinking I'm grown. And it, of course I love Bullets. The team wasn't good, but Bullets are kind of cool, unfortunately. They go pretty fast. And like when they changed it, I remember hearing like a little kid did it. Wasn't it like a kindergartner? Wasn't it like a little eight year old? Like a super young kid. And I remember being like, dang, I kind of want to beat this kid up. But you know what? Once we started making the playoffs, I was like, all right, I like Magic.
Wizards feels almost kind of like, the fact that they've already gone all the way back to wearing the same color scheme that they had with Bullets, and they basically have the same uniforms. They've done everything but just changed their name back to the Bullets, which is basically like moving back into that old apartment that you shared with your ex-girlfriend. You start wearing the same clothes again, start hanging out at the same spots, hoping that she shows up. It's like, man, just call her, dog. Just call her. Like, stop playing.
Oh, man, I'm just imagining myself in like a tall tee, waiting for some girl to like walk into a place. Like, oh man, the original explanation of the Bullets name was also kind of lame though. Like, I think the point was, you know, it's the '60s and we think guns are tight. That's why we're doing it, right? But their explanation was like, oh, it's like Superman, because like we're faster than a speeding bullet. But then I'm like, but then why are y'all called the Bullets? How are you faster than them and also calling yourself them? It was like just a missing piece in the logic.
Yeah, there's been a lot of those. Now, so my thought has always been, I grew up as a Bullets fan or Wizards fan. I reserved the right to pick another team. Really, this goes to Bullets fans, because if you grew up with the Wizards, the Wizards were competitive enough to where you maybe can just rock with them, at least like in the Gilbert Arenas years. Like, there have been some years where that could have been your only team. No, but I'm talking about like the Muggsy Bogues years. I'm talking about the Michael Adams, Mark Allery years, okay? If you grew up with LeBradford Smith and Jeff Malone, you get to pick another team. So the team I picked was the Lakers. I'm kind of like this weird Lakers Bullets hybrid. So I'm curious, since you've been out in LA, do the Clippers have, like, with the winning that they've done, has that translated into any level of fandom on the ground in LA?
A little bit, but it's still pretty ironic. People watch the Clippers as a bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of the biggest Clippers fans are comedians. It's just like, you know, whoever got SNL that year, Will Ferrell still got his season tickets. I feel like you might could catch Billy Crystal down there, you know what I mean? It's like all people who think it's a little funny.
Like one and extended in the hood, bit.
You know, I feel like some cats, like if you go to, when you go to East LA, they'll be like, all right. Some people are down with the Clippers because, you know, Lob City was real good. But, it's still Lakerville.
I got you. All right, well, man, look, what do you got coming up, man, like comedy-wise? I know you had that album. You dropped something during the pandemic, didn't you?
I went double pandemics almost. I dropped something on Valentine's Day. So it was like a couple weeks before everything went down. It's called I Think It's Good, and you know, it's like streaming everywhere, or you could buy it, you know, straight up on Amazon, or you could email me directly, babytelemundo@gmail.com, and I will send it to you, but you gotta PayPal me. And I'm also, I have been kicked off Venmo, but if you want to PayPal me, I can send you the album directly. And I also got a little 30-minute special, quotation marks, air quotes there. I just put some stand-up on my website. That was a pure quarantine. It is a quarantine special. There is no laughs. And that is sort of intentional.
What do you have to do to get kicked off Venmo?
Man, sell weed wrong.
Fair enough. Understandable. You know what? It is a hustler's economy out here. It really is. It's
so
amazing
true,
that
man.
there's a right way to do that, but that's where we are in 2020. Dude, so I know you got Baby Telemundo, you got At Broccoli House, right? You're
Yes.
At Broccoli House, what's that, on Instagram. How many different names you got?
Okay, so I got them two, and then I got a nonprofit comic on Twitter. You can also, if you need any DJ work, if you need me to DJ like a wedding or like a bar mitzvah kind of hybrid, maybe you're doing both events at once virtually, DJ Slim Yancey is also available for you there.
Player. Hey man, I appreciate you for rocking with us. Stay safe and man, take your behind back to Cali. We ain't worked this hard for you to make it for you to be back here hanging out at Woodbridge, man. Come on, stop it.
Look, I'll be back after I go to Potomac Mills. I gotta hit the
That
night
is
store
comedian
one
Jamel
time.
Johnson. The rest of you guys hit me up 800-636-1067. I'll be back. I'm Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I am Reese Waters. I want you guys to weigh in 800-636-1067. I know your mama told you gotta watch church. Just throw that bad boy on mute so you can hear my audio. It's all good. I want to bring in my man Pete Haley. He's a writer and podcaster for NBC Sports Washington. First of all, man, thank you for joining us on this beautiful Sunday. Real quick, I saw what you had written about the Darius Geis situation, having to wait this long for a guy to develop, and then all of a sudden, because of circumstances, completely unrelated to what's going on the field, have to completely to punt on that plan. So, first of all, let's get to the football part of this. How big of a disadvantage does this leave the football team in going into the season? Obviously, assuming we have one.
Well, thanks for having me on, Reese. I was going to do absolutely nothing today, so now I can feel like I am contributing to society a little bit through this interview. About your question there with Darius, it's kind of interesting because, if you look at his raw stats, he played five games for this team, and a lot of people maybe around the league are going to look at this and say, there's a lot of fuss about someone who had 245 career rushing yards for Washington. Why are they, angry? Why are they freaking out? But I think it's more about what Darius was capable of. You saw what he did in Carolina. This guy looked like a top-flight running back when he was right. And sure, he wasn't really right for much of his career, but it looked like he was kind of trending upward. He had just tweeted that he got cleared for the season. So this kind of felt like it was going to be his year, and now he's gone. So you can look at it two ways. You can look at it, one, the guy who played five games is gone, and they have a bunch of running backs ready to replace him. Or you can look at it, yeah, all that's true, but this dude looked like a burgeoning star. Now he won't be able to pull that off in Washington. I guess I'm kind of leaning towards the first one more. This makes Antonio Gibson and Bryce Love more valuable. You still have Adrian Peterson, JD McKissick's there, even Peyton Barber. So I think it's a pretty big loss, but for Washington, I guess if you want to say they're fortunate in one way, it happened at one of their deeper spots at least.
Well, who do you think is the favorite to actually be our RB1? Because I mean, I was talking to Darren a little the last hour. I said, "Is it really Adrian? Is Adrian Peterson really right now our RB1? Do I have to drag my 2K07 out of mothballs? Is that what's going on right here?"
Yeah, I think you do, man. I feel like we're going to do an interview in 2025 and Adrian's still going to be in the mix for number one, but he is just so reliable. And this is a spot where Darius wasn't able to be reliable. Adrian filled in for him in 2018. He filled in for him in 2019. He's going to have to do it again in 2020. Before this news broke, I wasn't necessarily arguing for Peterson to be released or, cut during cutdowns, but I at least was thinking if Ron Rivera wants 2020 to be all about kind of preparing for the future, why not give the young guys chances and why not move on from Peterson? But now there's no way you can because if you look behind him, it's Bryce Love who's never played, it's Antonio Gibson who's never played, it's McKissick who is not an every down back, and it's Peyton Barber who's been a pretty average every down back. So yeah, I think Adrian Peterson is the lead back again, and I think Ron Rivera is okay with that because he respects the hell out of AP, and AP has shown that he can do it pretty well. He's not going to, churn out a 1,300 yard season this year. At least I don't expect him to. But he can give you 4 yards a carry and 800 yards and kind of let other guys mix in. So get that out of the mothballs, get 2K7 or whatever year you were referencing, and be ready for more Peterson in the backfield.
Adrian Peterson gonna last longer than my PlayStation 4. That is really
he probably will.
That is the sad truth of the matter. Okay, now to the off the field stuff. Because I read in this release about the guy's situation that there was actually three incidents involved, which to me says, why did it take three incidents for us to get to a point where a decision was made, assuming that these were publicized? So what do we know now about when the team knew of all of these incidents involving Darius Geis?
Well, if you look at, yes, and I read that too in the Washington Post, that there's been three incidents. But my impression was, you know, those three incidents kind of came out together. It wasn't, they told, you know, Washington was aware of the first one and let it slide. They were aware of the second one, and finally it was strike three. If you look at the statement they released Friday night, it said, on Thursday, we learned of a potential domestic violence-related incident involving running back Darius Geis. And then, you know, he came in, Darius came to inform us about those. We excused him, and then this afternoon, being Friday, we learned that there are multiple charges. So from that statement, it sounds like the team had no idea about any of those incidents until Thursday. They talked to Darius. Maybe Darius wasn't as forthcoming about those charges as he should have been. And then once Washington saw, you know, the extent and saw how many there were and, you know, how violent they sounded, they were like, all right, we can't do this anymore. So at least from the team side, it sounds like all that stuff that happened only came to their radar on Thursday afternoon, and then they acted quickly, of course, on Friday.
I understand. It has been a really tumultuous offseason, to say the least, for Ron Rivera, who's coming in. I gotta think he's wondering, what exactly did I step myself into? Any idea on how he's feeling since he's taken this job with everything he's had to deal with?
Well, I'm right there with you. I mean, this offseason has been tiring for me and my coworkers, and all we do is sit in our living rooms and write about the stuff that happens. Ron has to be in the eye of the hurricane on every single one of these issues, and not all of it's football. Barely any of it is football, actually. I mean, the name stuff, the Washington Post sexual allegations, Darius Geis, all these things are off-field things that a head coach normally wouldn't be dealing with. Of course, he'd deal with the consequences of losing Darius, but it seems like Ron has to be in charge of addressing the media when these kinds of things happen. So everything he said to us, because we're starting to ask, like, Ron, are you sure you're okay, man? This seems like a lot. Would you like some help? You know, are you regretting this at all? And he's been very strong about that. He's not regretting that him and Dan Snyder have a good relationship, that they're ready to right this ship. But I kind of likened it to Ron as a pilot of a plane, and he's having to deal with all these issues, and they haven't even really taken off yet. He's still kind of rolling down the runway, and he's losing an engine, and then something else happens in the back, and, like, I just don't know how much one guy can take. I mean, Ron Rivera, I've been incredibly impressed with his leadership, and I think if someone can handle it, it's him. But with each little news story that breaks every other week, I'm starting to wonder if anybody on the planet can actually really handle this on their own. So I'm going to be interested to see, you know, what Ron is like in 3 or 4 years after this. Is he able to kind of fight through all this and really get the franchise on the right path like he really wants to?
Good point, and your confidence in your outlook really are as strong as your feeling about your starting quarterback. And we've been hearing the right things from Ron Rivera about Dwayne Haskins. It seems like he is sold on Dwayne Haskins. At the same time, we know that coaches love to bring in their own quarterback, and this was not somebody that he necessarily drafted. How much should we believe what he's been saying so far about our quarterback?
I think you should believe that he is really in on Dwayne, and I think you can kind of look at some of his actions from earlier in the offseason. There are all those rumors about Washington maybe trying to take someone like Tua Tagovailoa, and they didn't. They had the second overall pick. They could have drafted Tua. They could have traded down and tried to get Tua, but they sat there and they took Chase Young. They could have signed Cam Newton, a guy that Ron Rivera had success with for 7 or 8 years. They went to a Super Bowl together, and they didn't. They let Cam sit out there on the free agent market and get swiped up by New England. So I think those were two pretty big indicators. And we have heard Ron kind of early on in his tenure. He was lukewarm about Dwayne. I remember asking Ron in his introductory presser back in January, you know, just for a general kind of endorsement of Dwayne, and he didn't even really give that. So that day I was like, ooh, we might have a quarterback controversy here already. But as the offseason has progressed, he's gotten more and more complimentary about Dwayne. He's starting to really hype him up. And I think even though he hasn't named him a starter, and even though Kyle Allen is here, and even though they're still kind of drumming up Alex Smith, I think Dwayne ultimately will be the starter in week one. And I hope, you know, barring any injury, that he takes every snap in 2020. I think this needs to be the year they figure out what they have in him. I don't want to see Kyle Allen. I know what Kyle Allen can be. And Alex Smith, it'd be miraculous, but I'd rather see Dwayne kind of working towards the future, because if Dwayne proves that he has what it takes to survive in the NFL, then you could be set for 5, 6, 10 years even. So, you know, I think Ron does believe in Dwayne. You know, he may not fully love him. He may not fully believe in him, but I think it's he realizes that the best course for his team long term is trying to see what they have in Dwayne, and then they kind of proceed from there.
Yeah, that's a really good point. How confident are you right now? I mean, I know you've been working, you've been doing the pod, you've been writing articles, you've been really working hard with the hope that there is an NFL season. Where do you stand right now today on August 9th? If you are going down to the Green Turtle where it used to be, where now you can lay down bets right here in Washington, D.C., where you betting, man?
Well, that's a beautiful thing. I actually went there last week and placed a couple bets on a Blazers over, a Damian Lillard prop, and a Nationals game, and I went 2-1. So I'm kind of hot there at those windows already. But if I was to go down there today and deal with the NFL season, you know, I'd feel confident that there's going to be a Super Bowl, and I'd feel pretty confident that there's going to be a Week 1 on September 13th. It's just the 95% of action in the middle that I'm really hesitant about, because, you know, baseball has taken on some water, but they haven't had to full-on pause. Basketball's doing well, and hockey's doing exceedingly well. So I think the NFL, though, they're not doing the bubble, obviously, and they just have so many more players, and their sport is different. Those are so many things that they can learn from the other leagues, but then there are other things that only they will have to deal with and only they will be able to relate to. So week one, feel great about. Super Bowl at some point, feel good, but I think in between it's going to be dicey. There might be some cancellations. There might be some outbreaks. So I'm a little bit worried about that, because, you know, if they put this thing on hold, or if they say, you know what, it's week six and we've tried and we can't, that's going to be a big blow to people in the media. That's going to be a big blow to fans. That's going to be a big blow to everybody. So I just hope that doesn't happen, but I'm kind of preparing myself that it might.
It's going to be a big blow to my excitement for Chase Young, because I'm upset because I haven't been this excited for a Redskins rookie since, I don't know, probably Heath Shuler. And I was gravely disappointed. I still have holes in my childhood home of my disappointment and disgust about that Heath Shuler pick. But now I get a chance to do it again with Chase Young, and all of a sudden you tell me they're not going to be a season. At least whet my appetite and tell me all the things that everybody else has seen and is expected from Chase Young and Kent.
Well, that's the disappointing thing, right? Like, Chase was drafted in April, and then, you know, come May, it felt like, all right, they have Haskins, they have Chase. Everything's building towards a really exciting new young core, and then, you know, a million things happen and totally distracted. But I think it's a shame that we haven't been able to get fully ramped up for Chase. I think he's going to be a total star. I don't have any doubts about it. Everything you're hearing so far, since they haven't really been able to put on the pads, is his mentality. We talked to Kendall Fuller this week, and I asked him just for an early impression on Chase, and he said, look, he doesn't carry himself like a rookie at all. There's a certain vibe about Chase. He, like, paused for a second, and that's what he came up with. He just described it as a vibe. His D-line coach, Sam Mills III, told us that his intelligence is what's jumped out. You can tell he prepares. You can tell he's dedicated. There are just all these stories already kind of emerging of just how serious he is. I'm not worried at all about the physical stuff. When you're drafted second overall, you have the tools. There's no doubt about that. It's your mentality that separates you. That's what kind of elevates you to delivering on that draft stock, and if you don't have the mentality, it's what prevents you from delivering. And so far, it sounds like Chase has all the mental things to go along with the athleticism. So keep getting excited about Chase, whether it's 2020, 2021, whenever we really get to see him fully. I think he's going to just hit the ground running, get a sack in that first game, and just be a terror for a decade at least.
I love it, man. Pete, what do you have coming up? You got any articles or pod you want to push?
That's very nice of you to offer. The Washington Football Talk podcast, it's a terrible name, but it's the spot we're in right now with this temporary name going on. We come out twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays, and then with Reuben Foster being activated off PUP, you know, about an hour ago, I'm sure I'm going to have some stories about that this afternoon, so check that out at Pete Haley, MBCS on Twitter. I'll probably sit on my couch and try and write something as soon as we end this call here.
like the Washington Football Talk podcast is the podcast name that the Washington football team deserves. It's the podcast name that Washington, D.C. deserves. I like it.
Okay. We're taking like suggestions for other ones. Basically, we kind of just open it up by saying we used to say this is the Redskins Talk podcast. Now we say this is a podcast about a football team that plays in Washington. And we're not sure what their name is. It's really great. Really rolls off the tongue. So I'm glad that you at least like it.
You know what? I was really pro when they said that they were going to take their time. I was like, okay, any more time that Dan Snyder buys himself not to make a rash decision, I think is good. And I also thought it was kind of clean. It was kind of like rebellion. I was kind of for that. And then I've had to say it a million times on radio, and I'm less enthused each time I have to say. A matter of fact, I had to text Darren last night. I was like, hey, man, why don't you come on? He's like, what do you want to talk about? I was like, oh, you can come talk about the Wizards and the Washington football team. Like, I literally had to write and text the whole thing out. I'm like, we really – it's this. I'm less excited by this by the day.
Yeah, I mean, I love the jerseys. The helmets are sweet. The idea that they're going to take their time and solicit fan advice and all these things, it's the right thing to do. But, man, it sucks to write it out. It takes up so much space in headlines, which is a nerdy writer thing nobody cares about except me. Even the acronym WFT, if you mess that up, of course, you get something totally different. So it's great, and I can't wait for when they decide upon the real one. But, you know, thank you for them not rushing into it, but at the same time, I kind of hate where we are. So they can't win. No one can win. It's fine. Let's just get this over with and become the Washington whatevers in a year or so.
Well, the good thing is that we're not used to winning, Pete. So the bar is set quite low. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you. Have a good rest of the show.
All right. Make sure you follow him at Pete Haley, NBCS, on Twitter and all your social media apps. By the way, today's Capitals game is on 94.7 The Drive. The puck drops at noon. But right here on 106.7, the Nats and the Orioles play. The first pitch is at 12:05. The battle for the Beltway. The battle for the BW Parkway. And let me tell you this, Nationals, okay? You won the World Series. You good with me. Like, you are so good with me. You are playing with so much house money. Except when you play the Orioles. I ain't taking no gruff off none of these Bammers in Baltimore, okay? We're not going to do that. The rest of you guys call me 800-636-1067. I got to deal with my anger. I'm Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I am Reese Waters. Yeah. How about that talk about Usher potentially doing a versus with Chris Brown? Man, you little girls better stop that. Don't let Chris Brown get his feelings hurt. Damage somebody's tour bus. Don't come for Usher. Don't you come for Usher. Don't do it. That being said, that doesn't mean that there aren't some verses that I would love to see. By the way, those of you who don't know, there's been these verses, musical battles on Instagram Live, putting hit makers against one another in a friendly song-by-song competition. It all started with Swiss Beatz and Timbaland going at it. In my opinion, it culminated with Snoop and DMX going at it. But this doesn't have to be a rap thing. It don't have to be a hip-hop thing. Where Britney and Christina at? I know Britney ain't busy. They need to finally have that versus battle. Head to head. The battle for the early 2000s. NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. Make it happen. We can go classic rock. Ozzy Osbourne against Alice Cooper. We can go classical. Mozart against Beethoven. They could be posthumous. We got all the recordings. Don't judge me for being cultured. We could have a disgrace battle. Ja Rule against Kid Rock. The has-been brawl for it all. The possibilities are endless. We need to make this happen for the culture. Not just our culture. The other cultures. We good. We done had so many versus battles in hip-hop. We had a neo-soul battle. We had a Jamaican dance hall battle with Beanie Man and Bounty Killer. It's time that other people felt this joy. It's time that other people felt the joy that we felt when we got to make fun of Teddy Riley for not knowing how to operate his internet properly. Because you know that exists in other genres. You know it does. You know Bret Michaels don't know how to work his router. It's time that we all shared laughter at the expense of middle-aged folks in genres other than hip-hop. It don't just have to be Teddy Riley. It don't just have to be Nelly. And we telling Nelly, why don't you take the Band-Aid off your face and put it on your router? Because your internet, you in St. Louis, but your internet look like you in Uganda. Come on. It don't just got to be rap and hip-hop. We got jokes for other genres. That's all I'm saying. I got jokes for Luke Bryan. Luke Bryan want these jokes? Want this smoke? Mumford and Sons? What you want to do, Mumford and Sons? Come on now. Step up to get knocked down. This is what we live for. I'm pleading with the universe to make these verses happen in other genres because I have jokes. Please let me get these jokes off. The rest of you guys, I know you got jokes. I know you got feelings. I know you got rants. And I know you got wisdom. I want to hear all of it. 800-636-1067. Hit me up. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.